Marketing Madness is sponsored in part by Help. Helping people help other people who need help from people giving help to people needing help from people giving help. And shoes. If you wear shoes, your feet are covered. And fear, the core emotion, protecting us from threats to our lives, preventing us from reaching our goals.
You know what I hate? I hate commercials.
There's no rationalization for what you do, and you are Satan's little helper.
Vince with Slap Chop.
Mr. Whipple.
This is the famous kitchen magician.
You're going to love my...
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Welcome to Progressive.com. How can I help you?
Ladies, you can't squeeze it.
Good hug.
Call now.
Jello pudding.
I'm loving it.
Can you hear me now?
Puppy monkey baby.
Call or click today.
Stop having a boring tuna. Stop having a boring life. Kill yourself. Seriously.
By Mark.
By Kenner.
800-951-7713.
Only $12.95.
You're the ruiner of all things good. Seriously. Seriously.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Museum of Marketing Madness, the only podcast that explores the world of advertising, marketing, branding, commercialism, materialism, whoring, the very vacuous and soulless world we not only visit but live in, and in a very explicit way, support. You know, as I record these podcasts, I am still trying to decide what to call this damn thing. So for now, it's the Museum of Marketing Madness, which originates from my website, the Museum of Marketing Madness at www.madnessmuseum.com. As I mentioned, this podcast goes much deeper than the website, which takes just the slightest scant look at advertising and pokes fun at it. For instance, of late, I have a bunch of examples of advertising for food, which features the animal the meat is derived from. Now, I'm no dirt-munching, tree-hugging druid, and I eat meat, but I don't like cartoon animals advertising the food I'm about to eat. There's an example there of some brand of fast food called Klux Deluxe. Well, Klux, of course, spelled C-L-U-X to match the spelling of deluxe, D-E-L-U-X-E. And on the package is a cartoon picture of a chicken, kind of a more friendly foghorn, leghorn character.
Now what's that? I say, now what's that?
I say, if I'm a rooster,
but
you can tell the chicken is running because there's those speed lines behind it. So why is he running? Because it's fast food, right? No. He's running because he's about to be killed. All right, here's another one. Here's a food truck called Dream Chicken. Now, food trucks are really big, especially in New York City, and there's some really brilliant ones. There's a kimchi taco truck, sort of a merging of the taco and some Korean foods. There's Waffles and Dingas, which is Belgian waffles and other stuff. Then there's another truck, kind of the same thing, called Schnitzels and Things, which features schnitzels. So Dream Chicken, I ask you, what are you offering me that's different? Oh, look, they have chicken fingers and wings, and what else do they have? They have hamburgers. Cheeseburgers and falafel. What? Huh? Oh, look, here's the poor cartoon chicken on the side of the truck with his wings raised under the logo Dream Chicken with the letters in reddish orange against the cloud. Oh, well, what kind of dream is this for a chicken? Maybe it's a dream that he's gonna be hacked to death and roasted and cooked. Anyway, you know, I'm still trying to decide. Like I said, Museum of Marketing Madness, maybe it should just be called Marketing Madness or something else. What do we call this? This naming of products falls under a thing in advertising called branding. Now, branding, you might think, is just the name of the company and the product, right?
Wrong.
Or, well, then it's the logo or something, right?
Wrong.
It's the colors, the font. The spokesperson?
Wrong.
Look, here's how branding works and what it does.
Mm-hmm.
Advertising's job is to sell the selling, market the message, and most important, create a need where one does not exist. And the key channel, the operative technique to create that need is through this mystically hypnotic method called branding. Agencies love to talk about the brand. They talk about being the brand, living the brand, become the brand, eat the brand. I, for one, would like to bend the brand over a table and fuck it up the ass, because who the hell cares? 99.9% of the time, the brand is noise, it's disturbance, it's a weak attempt to poke consumers in the eye and get their attention for a split second. But see, a brand is a construct. It's a perfectly vacant slate and the ultimate canvas to create the need. See, a business, whatever the business does, comes to the agency and sad and desperate and fairly dumps a box of broken half-assembled parts and springs and wires and things on a conference room table. And the agency intones, "It is okay. You leave. We will figure out what it is we can make of this." And the client says,
thank you so much. We have no clue what it is we just made or do. We don't know. We'll pay you. We'll pay you a lot of money."
And then the wizards of marketing, media, advertising, copywriting, branding, strategy, and pulling shit out of their asses begin a colossal effort to deconstruct, assemble, colorize, recapitulate, transmogrify, and otherwise invent a brand. This work, in fact, is truly creative. It is the most creative thing business will ever do. Forget about product development, industrial design, modern management techniques, innovative technology. Come on, pshaw. A phone is always going to be a phone, a car, a soda, but a brand, come on. I mean, it could be commercials, could be a logo, might be a cool color and a font treatment, might be some nifty wordplay, a pun, a double entendre, oxymoron, I don't know, maybe a collection of words or pictures or all of the above. It might be a sock puppet. It might be a little fucking gecko that walks on two legs and talks with an Australian accent. Whatever they come up with, no matter what they dream, it's the same hollow turd the business dropped on that conference room table. To go from initial conceptual meetings to the broadcast of the first commercials and giant billboards costs tens of millions, hundreds of billions. You add up all the brain power and money spent on brand excavation, audience analysis, market research, media buys, combine the campaigns, messaging, demographics to deliver a message, create this brand to say something that sells something, all that good. You could feed the entire fucking planet the rest of the century. You'd still have enough left to put every child into college. But alas, the need hath been created. Let's talk about the thing I mentioned earlier, creating a need where one does not exist. What exactly is that? Well, what is a need? Let's go back to the basics. Think about what you need. The basic needs of modern civilized human beings are food, clothing, shelter. That's it. I mean, you know, a nice pillow, some good tunes, maybe a nail clipper. That's all. We operate on a premise that you don't walk around naked. You have a place you call home where you can go number one or two, and you can usually get something to eat and put in your belly so you don't starve. This is what we need to survive. What is the difference between needing something and wanting something? A want is not a need. A want is a need in disguise. It's just food, clothing, or shelter. Distorted, enlarged, refined so that it becomes something else. And here's the curious thing. It becomes something so rarefied that it creates an emotional pull, a desire. It crosses the Rubicon to seem to be a need. See, we all have two levels of brain functioning. Deep inside our skull is a brain that has very little information. It knows, okay, we're safe. It's raining, we're covered. It only knows one or the other. You have a need, you are hungry. You eat, you are not hungry. You live another day. Survival, done and done. But that brain, the one that pretty much keeps us alive, is actually a prisoner. It can't see or hear. It's buried so deep, surrounded by a wall of habituated neurons trained to fire on triggers that have been planted from birth with secret messages encoded in branding. A set of gray matter that sees and hears them and pulls in all this information. But, it also has poor judgment. It's easily distracted, doesn't know limits, and tends to exaggerate. And the inner brain's so sheltered and hidden, it doesn't even know there's another brain there. It thinks we're all one, we are whole. So let's go back to caveman times. Back to simple food, clothing, shelter. Let's make believe you have everything you need. You have food, lots of it. Abundant, stored. You have clothing, lots of that too. And I don't just mean different loincloths or whatever, but I mean stuff for different seasons, for the whole family. You have shelter, a bed, a place to sleep, to hang your loincloths, to cook and store all that food. What could you possibly want? Well, if you know nothing else, you can't want anything else. Well, let's say you go to dinner at the cave family across the hill. These people show you in their cave a way to hang up your clothes with this built-in closet for the cave. It gives you a little more room. You can store some more food. Look at that. They had a cave guy, come in and do a built-in closet. They paid him in some raw meat, a few loincloths. And you want to do this too. You want this. It makes sense. You give up some food and clothing, and the caveman closet guy does a build-in to store more food, and that's where it begins. You have choices. And the choices and decisions complicate the simplicity of the need. Not only that, once you want something more, once you want a particular kind of need, of food, clothing, and shelter, you wind up expressing yourself with that kind of food, clothing, and shelter. You individuate yourself. And what does that do? You feel different. You're special. What happens if you're special? If these things improve your life in such a way as to make it not only better, but you're special, you could live longer. And so that basic need, what is keeping us alive, keeping us eating, surviving, covered, safe, that becomes something that is inherent to survival because we believe if we live better, we live longer. This all starts very early in our modern lives. Children are exposed to acres of fun stuff, all kind of pretty colors and lights and stimulation. It's beautiful, fun, playful. By the time the child is born and the techniques and methods for creating the need have been tested and evaluated by kids from the previous generation, and the commercials kids are seeing now, those commercials evolved from the commercials that we saw as kids, and the ones we grew up with, those evolved from the ones our parents grew up with, and so on. The commercials just become more and more powerful. Each desire, which was at one time core basic need, compounds, grows immensely, complicates the situation further. It's nice to have these things, but we expect more than that, to the point where we feel we have a right to that. We want to be able to turn the lights on when we come home. We want to bathe in hot water and flush a toilet so we don't have to look at our own waste. These become basic needs. Part of our brain that just wants something to eat and wants to mop up a spill on the floor and maybe even wants to send a text. Well, that part doesn't get to make the decision for a Swiffer mop or the Frito-flavored gorditas or the iPhone 5 or 5S or 6 or 6S and 7S plus and then there's a Galaxy 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9, 10, 11. We can very easily be made to want these things because, of course, we are miles and thousands of years from the simple need of food, clothing, and shelter we are trained to want from a very early age. Once there was a commercial for Mercedes-Benz. It was like some kind of a dream and dreamy pictures of a Mercedes looking cool and rock musicians in the background and a voiceover intoning, "You are gonna play bar chords and jam with Blue Oyster Cult." What? What could that possibly have to do with? What would Blue Oyster Cult have anything to do with a German luxury car? A lot. Way more than you think it does. Instead of saying something stupid like, "Look at this cool car and the engineering and consider Mercedes' legendary reputation." Fuck that. Everybody's heard about German engineering and luxury and the brand is already established. Why bore people? let's talk directly to the guy who, say, he used to play guitar in a band in college, and he was a business major and with a minor in international law, and then he worked for an investment bank, and he made a lot of money. He wants a cool car. How do you talk to that guy? Showing him German engineers in lab coats looking Germanic and all that shit? Or go back to something he wanted to do in college, playing in that band, mastering bar chords, and some unforgettable 70s rock song? How do you sell a Mercedes to that guy? The copywriter nails it. Mercedes is cool again. Blue Oyster Cult is cool. And the brand lives. And the desire for something a guy wanted to do when he was messing around in college is slaked by a car that captures the essence of his life today. That is the need. Created where one does not exist. And it happens every day in marketing madness.